This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Progress.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abayim. I hope everybody's having a good Yom Tov on the 15th day of January in New York City. It's very, very cold, but hopefully we're going to start warming things up over here. We have an amazing topic today, and we have a number of very exciting announcements. Number one, for the very first time ever, we are planning the first Machon Magen HaRakia convention that will be taking place in Miami, March 3rd to March 5th. We have an amazing sugya, amazing subjects in Hashkafa and Shiurim, and we have a very exciting outing planned. So if you want to join us for 2 days, the price is extremely affordable, and it would be a great opportunity if anybody wants to join us March 3rd to March 5th. You could also join us on our upcoming trip at the end of February. I believe it's February 17th to the 22nd. In the footsteps of the Chida, we're going to be visiting many of the cities where the Chida traveled, to Verona, Ancona, Padua, Venice, and visiting many of the Kivrei Tzadikim there, Livorno, and so forth. We have very exciting upcoming Svarim, Bezus Hashem. The next Sefer in the queue is in Lashon HaKodesh on Chinuch Habanim, which is nearing completion. Baruch Hashem, the writing is complete. We've finished a couple rounds of editing, so it's really nearing completion. If anybody would like to participate in that or in the upcoming art scroll on Lag BaOmer, please let us know. Okay, so we have a very exciting topic today, and today we're going to be speaking about a conversation. Let me see if I can. How do I do this? A conversation that took place between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paroi. How do I do this? A conversation. That took place between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paroi. Let's see. Are you able to see the Maror Makom? Could you see the Maror Makom? Okay. I don't have. Let's see if I can make it bigger. No. Okay, we're going to do our best over here. So, after Makas Choshech completed, so Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were called to Paroi, and Paroi asked of them, say, okay, fine, it's time. You could send out the Bnei Yisrael. You could send them out with their children, with their cattle. Vayikra Paroi o Moshe, So Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, we're not going to leave anybody here. We're going to take our cattle with us. We don't know what we need to do until we get there. And Paroi said, really? And Paroi hardened his heart. He didn't let them go. And Paroi says to Moshe, get out of here. I don't want you to ever see my face again. On the day that you see my face, you're going to die. And Moshe said, you're right. Gut gesagt. I will not see your face again. And Rashi comments, Yafe dibarta. You spoke well. Bizmanoi dibarta. You spoke at the right time. The truth is, I'm not going to see your face again. So the question is, why is this debate? What's this conversation taking place between Moshe and Paroi? Why does it revolve around seeing Paroi's face? Paroi says, you're not going to see my face. Moshe says, you're right, I'm not going to see your face. Why the emphasis on the face? Moshe should say, or Pharaoh should say, I'm not going to see you, or I am going to see you, you're not going to see me. Why the emphasis on the face? Okay, so when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, we know they didn't have time to let their bread rise. They had to go out right away. And we have a tradition from the Arizal that the reason for the haste was Klal Yisrael had reached the ebb. Klal Yisrael had reached the brink of the point of no return. And had we remained there a moment longer, we would have fallen to the point of no return. And I don't know about you, but I would call that... they're playing it a little bit too close for comfort. No? I mean, imagine if you're playing a, you know, Lahavdil. I don't know. I'll let my guard down a little bit. So over this weekend, our whole family got together for my in-laws' 50th anniversary, and we all got together, and in the place where we went, there were ping pong tables, okay? So I was playing against my son, ping pong, and I was taking it easy, you know? I didn't want to come out and beat him 11-0, even though I'm a very competitive guy. So I let him hang around. The problem was, you know, I let him hang around a little bit too close for comfort, and he got ahead of me. I think he was up like 10-8, and I had to sweat a little bit until I won the game, Baruch Hashem. Otherwise, it would have been a disaster. But, you know, I made a mistake. You have to be very careful. You can't let them hang around until the end. You never know. There could be an upset in the last moment. So, here it is. So it's the same thing with Mitzrayim. I mean, why is Hashem letting us hang around until, we're up to the final second? Okay, then He'll take us out. I mean, it's getting a little bit too close. You don't think He could have taken us out at the 48th level, so we didn't have to sweat it? I mean, why did Hashem have to allow us to sort of fall to the 49th level of Tumah and go out just in time? Now, when Bnei Yisrael stood on the Yamsuf and the Mitzrayim ran after us, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Vayomer Moshe Ha'am, Vayomer Moshe Ha'am, Al Tirahu, His Yatzivu, Ureu Es Yishuas Hashem, Ki Asha Riisam is Samayam Loy Soy Sifu Leroysam Adoilam. You see Egypt today, you'll never see them again. Again, what's the emphasis on seeing them again? Klal Yisrael were worried that the Mitzrayim would catch us and they would kill us. So Moshe should say that Hashem said, don't worry, I'm gonna save you. Why the emphasis on you'll never see them again? And then what's most interesting is that when Hashem sent Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Klal Yisrael about the Geula, He adds, I will give your charm in the eyes of Mitzrayim, and when you go, you will not go empty-handed. You, each woman should borrow from her neighbor and from her friend gold, silver, garments, v'nitzaltem es Mitzrayim, and you will empty out Egypt. What does it mean, empty out? Targum says v'nitzalta means v'soyri kinon. You will empty them. You will make them rake. Furthermore, the Balaturim says it's v'nitzaltem is gematria kimetzula she'ein ba dagim. Like a pond that has no fish. Again, why the emphasis on... why the emphasis on the emptiness of Mitzrayim? One second, let me see if I could get something up. Why the emphasis on the emptiness of Mitzrayim? No, this is not working. Okay. Why the emphasis on the emptiness of Mitzrayim? So, let's introduce this topic with a phenomenon we encounter in many, many Gemaras. The Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Nun Ches, the Gemara tells us about Rav Sheshes. The Gemara says that Rav Sheshes would look at a certain Rasha, and the person became a pile of bones. How exactly did Rav Sheshes kill this individual by looking at them? Rav Sheshes was able to kill someone merely by looking at them? So let's introduce today's topic with the words of the Arachayim HaKadosh on the Pasuk, Vayivarech Oysam Elohim Lemar Pru Uravu Umilu Es Hamayim Bayamim V'Ha'oif Yirev Ba'aretz. The Arachayim HaKadosh reveals to us that in order for anything in this world to exist, to have vitality, whether it's an inanimate object, whether even if it's a davar tameh, every single thing in this world, in order for it to have a life, in order for it to have vitality, it has to have a spark of Kedusha. The spark of Kedusha is, so to speak, its neshama. Even the klipa, the shell of tumah, it nourishes from Kedusha. Otherwise, it has no vitality, has no life. So that's the life source of everything. Even the table that you're at, even the chair you're sitting on, the walls, everything, in order for it to exist, it has to have a spark of Kedusha. And the Arachayim HaKadosh in Parshas Vayechi, Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Tes, says, the root of all the souls of the tzaddikim in Adam HaRishayin. The Arachayim HaKadosh says, all the tzaddikim, all the nefashos of the tzaddikim, were in Adam HaRishayin, and when Adam HaRishayin sinned with the Eitz Hadas, all of these sparks sort of got captured in the tumah, and they're trapped. So when Adam HaRishayin sinned, many, many sparks of Kedusha got trapped all over the world. And they need to be freed, they need to be rescued. How can they be freed, how can they be rescued? Sometimes by learning Torah, or by doing mitzvahs, it draws these sparks that became captured or kidnapped in the klipa. Sometimes when a tzaddik or a tzaddikes lives with a rasha, it is able to extract these sparks of Kedusha, like when Dina lived with Shechem ben Chamar, and the soul of Rabbi Akiva was extracted. Or sometimes by Gentiles converting, it's able to bring sparks of Kedusha back to the Jewish people. So the Arachayim HaKadosh says that there are many different processes with which we're able to redeem these lost sparks of Kedusha. But there is this concept that throughout the world, there are sparks of Kedusha that mixed into and became spread all over the world from the sin of Adam HaRishayin. And many of these Geirim that come to convert are from these sparks of Kedusha, most notably Avraham Avinu, or Rus HaMoyavia, or Shmaya, or Avtalion, or Unklus Hager. All of these are from the sparks of Kedusha that fell into the Tumah because of the sin of Adam HaRishayin. And it's very interesting, the Rav Gedalia Shor, the Ar Gedaliah, brings from the Arachayim HaKadosh, the reason why we're in Galus, the reason why you're in Queens, or you're in Muncie, or you're in Miami, or you're in Florida, or you're in Brooklyn, or you're in the five towns. Why are you not in Yerushalayim? Why are you not in Chevron? Why are you not in Tver? You know why? The job of the Galus is to collect these sparks of Kedusha, and the Geula will not happen until all the sparks are collected. And that's why you have a phenomenon where whatever country we may be in, whether we were in Germany or France or England, we could be there for hundreds of years. And then overnight, we have to leave immediately. And they say, don't even pack your bags. Immediately, you can't even stay for a day. Well, what is this phenomenon where Klal Yisrael could be in a galus for many centuries, and then overnight we have to leave immediately? The answer is, we have a certain time frame that we need to be in the galus, and that is to be able to collect all the various sparks of Kedusha. But when that moment is up, and then we have no business there anymore. We have nothing to do over there. We've depleted all the sparks of Kedusha. We've completed our task. We've finished the job. And now it's time to move on. This, says Ar Gedalia, explains the phenomenon of the suddenness with which we often have to leave the goals that we're in. And in this manner, the Chasam Sofer in Parshas Bahaloscha explains the words of Moshe Rabbeinu to Yisrael when he's trying to persuade Yisrael to come with Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. So the Chasam Sofer says that he has a tradition from his great Rebbe. Who's the Chasam Sofer's great Rebbe? Rav Nosson Adler. That Hashem sometimes brings a tzaddik that he should take a certain road, a certain path. You ever wonder why people have ways today? Why ways? Because sometimes, you know, the location is a little off and it takes you in some kind of backward street in the other direction, and you go into this bad neighborhood. If you never had ways, you might actually get there in a timely, straightforward manner. But now, you have no idea even what country you're in. You're completely reliant on the ways, and it takes you to some off-road, back road. Why is Hashem bringing you there? Why are you going there? The answer is, sometimes Hashem brings a tzaddik to a certain location to pass by a certain tree or a certain mountain, because there's a spark of Kedusha there that nobody ever was able to rescue or redeem. And that's why you should come with us on all of our trips, because we have a lot of sparks of Kedusha that we're collecting, and you know, you want to be part of it. But all kidding aside, the Rav Nosson Adler says that a person's journey in life and the various places where sometimes a person doesn't even know themselves why they needed to go there, there's always a reason. You need to be at that rock, or at that tree, or on that mountain, or in that valley. There's some Kedusha there that you need to rescue. You're going to go there, you're going to say a Dvar Torah, you're going to say a Bracha, you're going to daven, you're going to do a Chesed, and you're going to release that spark that's been waiting for you for a very long time. So Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to persuade Yisrael that he needs to come with them. L'cha itanu, de'itavnu lach, ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael. And this was a sign to Yisrael that they will be bringing close the various gerim, because the function and the purpose of converting people who want to join Judaism is for the very same purpose as the journey Klal Yisrael was on, to be able to bring in these sparks of Kedusha. Comes a hafla, and the hafla teaches that the primary reason we were in Mitzrayim was for this purpose, to bring out all the sparks of Kedusha that were immersed in the Tumah from the time that Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. And that's why, when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, we took with us all the sparks of Kedusha that existed in Mitzrayim. However, we did not finish the job until we reached the Yam Suf. And at the Yam Suf, the Mitzrayim ran after us and were able to collect all the sparks of Kedusha. This, says the Hafla, was the Rechush Gadol that Klal Yisrael left with when they left Mitzrayim. What was the Rechush Gadol? All the various sparks of Kedusha. In fact, the Hafla gives an amazing remez that if you take the number 70, which are the number of souls that went with Yaakov Avinu down to Mitzrayim, so if you add 70 to the word Rechush Gadol, 70 plus Rechush Gadol is Tarlat, 639, which is the gematria of the Eitz Hadas, because the 70 souls that went down to Mitzrayim took all the Kedusha that fell there because of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, And this was the Rechush Gadol that went out with them. Now, we know that Chazal tell us, G'doy lo hoysa bizas hayam, yoysam ribizas Mitzrayim. Greater was the plunder that we took out of the sea than the plunder we took out of Egypt. And the Hafla says, this also alludes to the fact that the sparks of Kedusha that we're able to extract at the sea was greater than the sparks of Kedusha that we took out of Mitzrayim. Comes Rabbi Gedalia Shor, he says, now we understand why in the end of the bondage in Egypt, it was decreed on the Jewish people that they should not be given any straw, and they had to scatter to get the straw. Says Rabbi Gedalia Shor, why were we in Mitzrayim? To gather the sparks of Kedusha. The problem was, it was taking a very long time, and had we remained there any longer, we would have fallen to the point of no return. So Hashem needed to speed up the process. So He had the Pharaoh order that not only do we have to make the bricks, we have to gather our own straw. By gathering our own straw, we had to scatter all over Egypt. And by scattering all over Egypt, we were able to expedite the process of gathering the sparks of Kedusha, and that expedited the Galus. So Klal Yisrael thought, Ribbono Shel Olam, why are you doing this to us? Why are you making us work harder and travel to collect the straw? But from the Ribbono Shel Olam's vantage point, He was assisting us in expediting the process. So actually, you know, by coming with us on our trips, you're actually expediting the Geula, because you know, the Archaim HaKadosh says there are two processes of gathering in the sparks of Kedusha. You could learn Torah, you could do mitzvahs, and if you're on a high enough level, then the sparks of Kedusha will come to you like a magnet. But sometimes, says Archaim HaKadosh, you got to go there to collect the sparks. But this is, so to speak, like a somewhat of a mystical way of understanding the dispersion and the scattering of the Jewish people throughout the world until Mashiach comes. The Chassam Sofer, interestingly, in Parshas Balak, uses this approach to explain Makas Choshech. These sparks of Kedusha allow there to be a certain illumination in our surroundings. What brings light, what brings illumination, are the multitude of sparks of Kedusha in everything that exists. But says the Chassam Sofer, as our stay in Egypt was coming to an end, and we were really doing a good job gathering all the sparks of Kedusha, and now the sparks of Kedusha are almost depleted, that is what caused the plague of darkness. So now that we've gathered so many sparks of Kedusha, so now everything is, there's a major blackout. And the Chassam Sofer quotes his Rebbe, the Hafla, that this is the reason why Moshe would gaze at the face of Paroi. The Gemara Megillah on Daf Chavches says it's aser to be mistaka on the face of a Rasha, says Chassam Sofer. Moshe Rabbeinu, by gazing at the Pharaoh, he was extracting from him any sparks of Kedusha that were in Paroi. So now, really, inherently, it wasn't permitted for Moshe Rabbeinu to look at Paroi. He only did so to remove the sparks of Kedusha. So when Paroi said, I don't want you ever to see my face again, Moshe says, that's right, I think I'm done with you, Pharaoh. I'm not going to be looking at you ever again. By the way, the Hafla continues, and he says that this explains what the Eitzah of Bilam HaRasha was against the Jewish people, that Bilam knew that in Moav, the nation of Balak, there was a spark of Kedusha from which would come Rus and Na'ama. And as soon as Klal Yisrael would sort of extract that spark of Kedusha, then Moav would cease to exist. As we've learned, when that spark of Kedusha is extracted, then the entity can no longer exist. So Bilam HaRasha says, I have a great idea. If you're mezana with Klal Yisrael, then many, many more sparks of Kedusha will mix into Mayav, and it will prolong the process of Klal Yisrael gathering the sparks of Kedusha that are mixed throughout Mayav. Now, Chassam Sofer and Chassam Sofer HaChadash explains further how it was mutter for Moshe Rabbeinu to gaze at Paroi if in general it is Asr L'Stakel B'fnei Rasha. Says Chassam Sofer, the reason why it's Asr to look at the face of a Rasha is because looking at it minimizes one's dveikus and connection to Hashem. Because by looking at the Rasha, you connect with the Rasha. But when a tzaddik gamur is mistakel b'fnei Rasha, just like a large fire, if you put a small candle next to it, it will suck out the small fire and extinguish the small fire. If you put a small flame next to a big fire, the big flame will engulf the small flame and the small flame will go out. So when a tzaddik looks at a rasha, the big fire, the great conflagration of the tzaddik will consume the small little spark of kedusha that might be in the rasha. And this is the phenomenon nasam ba'enav v'nasa galtz shalatzamais, of sometimes tzaddikim will look at a rasha and they turn into a pile of bones. Why is that? Because they had some little spark of kedusha, but when the tzaddik looks at the rasha, the great fire of the tzaddik engulfs the small flame of the nitzitz of kedusha that's in the rasha, and the rasha ceases to exist. Chassam Sofer continues, this was the purpose, this was the reason why Klal Yisrael took out all the money of the Egyptians, because there were even sparks of kedusha in the Egyptians' money. And by taking out all the money, Klal Yisrael literally left Egypt empty. They emptied out Egypt completely. They emptied it out like a pond without fish. Therefore, says Chassam Sofer, Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is all the Chassam Sofer HaChadash, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to go to Paroi, because in Paroi there were a lot of sparks of Kedusha. In the Melech of Mitzrayim, there were many, many sparks of Kedusha, and only someone on the caliber of Moshe Rabbeinu was able to extract it. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I will not look at your face again, because after Makas Bechoros, Klal Yisrael will have depleted all the sparks of Kedusha Mitzrayim, and then I have no more business looking at you. I'm done with you. By the way, Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz, in Chelek Aleph, Jewish Zion, page Kuf Mem Vav, uses this principle to explain what Yaakov Avinu meant when he says to Esav, looking at your face is like Kriyas Pnei Elohim Vatertzeni. Says Chassam Sofer, just like seeing the Pnei Ashchina brings Kedusha to the Tzaddik, likewise, by seeing the face of a Rasha, the Tzaddik could take out all the sparks of Kedusha and draw it to himself. Just like in the face of Esav, there were a lot of sparks of Kedusha. Which sparks of Kedusha were in Esav? Kitzayid Befiv. He had the Kedusha of Rab Meir in him. Some say even Rabbi Akiva, Shmaya V'Avtalyoin. So Yaakov gazes at Esav and he says, he says a lashon of Kirois panecha kirois pnei elokim. Seeing your face is like seeing the face of God. Just like when I would behold the countenance of the Shechina, would bring me tremendous kedusha. Likewise, when I see your face, Esav, I'm also able to extract kedusha. By the way, Chassam Sofer says that's why before Yaakov met Esav, he made sure to send him a gift of money. Why? Because by giving someone your money, you're sending them some of your sparks of Kedusha. So Yaakov Avinu was afraid that if he would have to deal with Esav, it would have a bad hashpah on him. So Yaakov Avinu sent Esav some money. In that money is some of his own Kedusha, so this way his encounter with Esav would not harm him. By the way, our Chaim HaKadosh says, in this week's parasha, that this was the mechanism of Makas Bechayrais. How did the firstborn just die? That this was all the process of Klal Yisrael sucking out any droplets of Kedusha that remained in the Mitzrayim, and by removing these sparks of Kedusha from the Mitzrayim, that is what caused their firstborn to die. Because the soul of a tzaddik, from its powerful Kedusha, has the ability and the capacity to remove, to extract the sparks of Kedusha from the Ra like a magnet. And once the Ra is left without any shorish of Kedusha, it ceases to exist. By the way, the Rechaim HaKadosh says this is the meaning of what the Gemara tells us in Sukkah on Daf Nun Beis, that God is destined to shech the Yetzer Hara. How do you shech the Yetzer Hara? Yetzer Hara is not a physical entity. Yetzer Hara is a malach. How do you shech the Yetzer Hara? The meaning is, Hashem will shech the Yetzer Hara by removing any Kedusha that's Mechaya, the Samach Mem, and Memela, the Yetzer Hara, will be Nisbatel. And in this manner, Hashem smote the firstborn in Mitzrayim. By removing all the Kedusha from Mitzrayim, it was able to extract tremendous... it was able to extract their vitality, and that's what brought about the demise of the firstborn. By the way, Chassam Sofer in his drashas for Shvi Shel Pesach, page Reish Ayin Daled, he brings that based on this approach of when a tzaddik looks at a rasha, it could incapacitate the rasha, it could extract from the rasha any kernel of Kedusha. So Klal Yisrael were afraid when they saw the Mitzrayim running after them. They were afraid. Why are they running after us? We thought we removed every vestige of Kedusha from them. So, and now we have no benefit. What benefit would there be by seeing the Mitzrayim? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, don't worry. You didn't get everything yet. You still have some work to do. Only at Kriyas Yamsuf. Then, Kasher Reisem Es Mitzrayim Hayoim Lois Soisifun Leroisam Ad Oilam. As you've seen Egypt today, you will never have to see them again. If I'm not mistaken, there's a question. We know there seems to be a lav of returning to Egypt today. Many times in the Torah, it speaks about a prohibition of returning to Egypt. Now, I'll tell you the truth. We actually had a trip planned for this January. We were going to go to Egypt. But we had to push that off for a different time. But there's a question. Are you allowed to go to Egypt today? And the Chidah says that originally they weren't allowed to go back. But once in the times of the Nevi'im already, we find in Yirmiyah, Jews went back. What was the reason you weren't allowed to go back? You can't go back because you finished your job. You have nothing left to do over there. We already got out all the sparks of Kedusha. But once Jews went back in the times of Yirmiyah, they deposited more sparks of Kedusha. So there's still what to do there. Because they violated and went back, so there's still what to do there. Now, comes our Chaim HaKadosh, in Parsha Shemois, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Ches, and it's kedai to see this inside. The Archaim HaKadosh says, Dvarim Noiraim Ad Ma'id. The Archaim HaKadosh is bothered. Why did God wait to the last second to take us out? Isn't that too close to comfort? Why couldn't God redeem us when we're on the 46th level of Tumah? Says Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, our job was to take out of Mitzrayim every vestige of Kedusha, every spark of Kedusha. Says Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, everything in this world for it to exist has to have a spark of Kedusha. Which means the second level of Tumah, for that level to exist, it has to have a spark of Kedusha. And for the third level of Tumah to exist, it has to have a spark of Kedusha. And for the 45th level of Tumah to exist, it has to have a spark of Kedusha. And for this 46th level of Tumah to exist, it too has to have a spark of Kedusha. If God would have redeemed us when we fell to the 46th level of Tumah, then we would have only been able to extract the sparks of Tumah, excuse me, the sparks of Kedusha in the first 46 levels. But if we never would have descended to the 49th level of Tumah, we never would have had access to the spark of Kedusha in the 49th level of Tumah. So the Ribbono Shel Olam waited until we fell to the lowest possible level so that we could get out every single droplet of Kedusha, because everything in the world, for it to exist, for it to be a viable entity, has to have a spark of Kedusha. That's the reason why Hashem waited until the very last moment. The truth is, says our Chaim HaKadosh, even the 50th level of Tumah has a spark of Kedusha. The only thing is, God cannot allow us to fall to that level because we never would have come out. And now the Archaim HaKadosh drops the bombshell of the century. Says Archaim HaKadosh, that means really God should have allowed us to fall to the 50th so we could take out the very last spark of Kedusha that allows the 50th level of Tumah to exist. The only thing is, we can't come out of it. And we can't go down to such a level and come up alive. But la'asid lavai, we will even be able to go down to the 50th level of Tumah and extract the spark of Kedusha that fell over there. And the reason is, what, are we better than the generation that left Egypt? You bet we are. You see, what that generation was lacking is they didn't have the Torah yet. So they didn't have the nuclear spiritual force to be able to go down to such a subterranean level of Tumah and extract the Kedusha. But la'asid lavai, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives the Jewish people and has given us the Torah. And the Torah can overcome anything. The Torah could go to the most subterranean level of Tumah and bring out the Kedusha even from there. So our Chaim HaKadosh says something incredible. Let's read inside. V'huftichanu, God vouchsafes for us. Ki la'asilav, in the future, yashpia banu kelelyan, God will bestow upon us Torah's Chaim, the living Torah, shebashar hachamishim, of the 50th level. V'hasagasa hu b'amsois hagiluyos v'prad golos ha'achroin unmasigim hadavar. The reason why we were in Sakana in Egypt, if we would have reached the 50th level of Tumah, is because we were not B'nai Torah. But in the last generations, through their Torah, we could even enter the Sharnun and rescue the last spark of Kedusha in the Sharnun. And then Tumah will disintegrate. And that's the reason why Hashem waited to literally the last possible moment until He took us out of Mitzrayim. Because Hashem wanted that we finish the job at least until the brink. And then we will complete the job, Be'ezus Hashem, as we near the end of days, where even though we look at the world around us and we see how degenerate society is, and we ask ourselves, are we any better than Mitzrayim? And the answer might be, we live in a society worse than Mitzrayim. But that should not get our hopes, that should not dampen our mood, that should not get our hopes down, but we should recognize and realize that even though we live in a tremendous Tumah, we live in a society where decency and morality have fallen to unparalleled lows. Nevertheless, we are B'nai Torah, and we have Torasenu HaKadosha, and that is a force that nothing can overcome, and it is a force that we could use even to extract whatever Kedusha there is in the 50th level of Tumah. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should be able to finish the job B'mehera V'yameinu, and B'zoicha to the Geula, where the B'zoicha to Mashiach, which is Rosh Teves Mashiach, Yigale Shar Chamishim. Rabbi Yisai, have a wonderful day, and I wish you all bracha v'atzlacha. Kol tov.
What hotel is the program Miami going to be at?
I'm going to tell you.
Recording stopped.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.